The 2017 legislative session has 9 American Indian legislators. That's about 6% of the 150 members, according to self-reporting to the Legislative Services Division. These 9 lawmakers have joined forces with at least 7 other colleagues, who also have American Indian constituents, to form the Montana American Indian Caucus. Welcome to Capital Connections. I'm Jackie Yamanaka. Each Tuesday, the American Indian Caucus has a scheduled meeting over lunch to talk about issues. 2 members of the caucus, Senator Leah Whitford and Representative Sharon Stewart Peregoy, agreed to talk about some of their key issues. It starts with Representative Stewart Peregoy on the importance of buffalo and concern about how Yellowstone National Park bison are managed.
Issues around this is that the slaughtering, there's a rally on February 17th, which is from the Friends of the Buffalo, which was the Buffalo Field Campaign, Wildlife Federation, the Intertribal Council, Bison Council, are all going to gather here at the Capitol on the 17th. And the reason why buffalo is so important to the people, not only in Montana, but the native people in Montana in particular, is because as Great Plains tribes, the buffalo was the source of sustenance, not only for Unitarian, but as well as it was the source of sustenance during year-round. And if you were to take a look at what is happening in West Yellowstone and Gardner, as the buffalo come out because of the hard winter, then either they're rounded up and sent to slaughter. And the unfortunate thing with this whole issue right now is the fact that the Fort Peck tribes had invested in well over $500,000 so that they could then hold the buffalo in quarantine. And then eventually, hopefully, reintroduce them into their herd or other tribal herds. And the whole process of slaughtering, and this is not something that as tribal people, particularly Great Plains people, would like to see, because with the high incidences of diabetes, buffalo meat is a really source of non-fat meat, and it's more connected to us as a people in terms of health-wise, and that it's to begin to introduce buffalo meat back into the senior citizen programs, into the schools, into the families would be a really good preventative move for the people. And so when we talk about buffalo and just the mass slaughtering, it disconcerts us, particularly me, because of the fact that there's such a great interconnection and spiritual connection between the buffalo and the people of the Great Plains. So what happens is that as we, I believe that as we have been disconnected from the buffalo, hence then these diseases, because of the change in our lifestyle, and the things that we eat has impacted us greatly today.
So you would like to see those bison that are held in that Stevens Creek capture facility sent to Fort Peck?
Yes.
And held in quarantine rather than just going off to slaughter?
Yes. And the reason is that there's a growing interest by the tribes here in Montana to be able to introduce the buffalo back on their traditional homelands. And then for us in the Crow Reservation, we do have a buffalo herd. And that to be able to reintroduce to expand the gene pool would be of interest to us.
Do you, in some ways, is this just the inability of government, the federal government, the state government, and the tribal governments to be able to work this out? They'll always point back to the Interagency Bison Management Plan.
Well, the Interagency Bison Management Plan, that's where the intertribal Bison Council comes into play, because they are one of the key players in which the tribes, when they sign on and want to be considered for taking buffalo, there's a whole process and a grant process that they have to go through in order to prepare themselves to take these the buffalo that are available. And the one right now that has made great movements is Fort Peck. And it's unfortunate that at this point they're not being allowed to take in the buffalo.
So we'll see here at the legislature if once again we get into very passionate discussion about the future of buffalo in Montana.
Yes. And the future, unfortunately, like I said before, the future of the buffalo is also the future of the Native people within Montana.
Certainly. Another issue that the American Indian Caucus has talked about in Montana is the vote-by-mail system. And it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican sponsor of going to an all-mail ballot. The American Indian Caucus has questions about that and has opposed that.
Yes,
I'll have you, Representative, explain a little bit about what are your concerns about voting by mail.
Well, the biggest concern and about vote by mail is that they use studies that they, meaning the collection recorders and the folks that try to bring this bill the past few sessions, is the fact that they're using Oregon and Washington statistics, which is more urban, and Montana is more rural. And so for urban areas, the vote by mail is cost efficient and works better, but for rural Montana, it does not. And particularly on not only for the rural folks who have to travel in testimony back then, and we'll probably hear again if it comes forward, is that traveling 50 miles one way just to go get your mail, and with the kind of weather that we have right now, and if we're looking at a special election, that can be problematic in being able to get your ballot in a timely fashion. And that's an issue, receiving the ballot in a timely fashion, being able then to turn around and send it back to the clerk and recorder's office so that it be counted. The other issue for folks, not only for American Indians, but for folks, is that if you're moving and if your ballot does not catch up with you, then it can be lost in the mail, and then you have to go back to the election office and either pick up a new ballot or just go ahead and vote at the election office. And it just doesn't work for rural Montana. It doesn't work for American Indians, particularly when we look at the high rate of mobility, moving from the reservation to off-reservation and back to the reservation. It does not work for college students for the same issue, because they're away at school and they may not receive their ballot at all. So this whole issue around cost efficiency and the move towards looking at an all-mail ballot just doesn't work for Montana. It doesn't work for the reservations, just because of the issues that in being able to receive the ballot in a timely manner. And then one of the issues that, there's always this idea of voter fraud and all these issues that come forward. In fact, we have a voter ID bill that has
very
just
strong,
been
right.
very strong, in which which is forbidding the use of electric bills. You have to have a photo ID that's issued by the state of Montana. It's bringing into question tribal IDs, so a driver's license, and the whole issue surrounding that particular bill is voter fraud. And yet we they can't prove voter fraud, but that's another issue.
So you see that as voter suppression. I mean, both voting by mail and then stronger voter ID requirements.
Yes, it is. It's one of the tools in the toolbox for voter suppression, because sometimes folks, if they're not the reason why tribal IDs, college IDs, Even Costco and Sam's Club IDs, any kind of form of ID that has a picture ID that has your name on it, that they can see that you're able to then vote. The other issue then is if you don't have any of those, then you were able to use your electric bill. You were able to use a series of ways to identify yourself so that you could vote. And if it's restricted along with a mail by ballot issue, that's that initiative that goes forward, then that's straight voter suppression, because then you can't, if you've lost your ballot, and if you go to the clerk and recorder's office or the election office, and if this bill passes, then and you don't have the proper ID, then you can't vote, and it's almost a Jim Crow law becomes that. If passed.
So obviously the American Indian vote, the Native American vote, is very powerful, and it was talked a lot about during last fall's election.
Yes.
About the role of, mm-hmm. and the power of this vote. I'm curious, is it your sense that yes, this community does vote, it will vote? Obviously it votes Democrat, it votes Republican.
Yes. This community does like to vote at the polls. It is a social event. It's something that people rally around. I believe that it's a time of being able to interact with one another. And then lastly, I think which holds true with a lot of the other veterans within the state of Montana, it's we honor our veterans and we understand that going to the polls is a right of citizenship, and that this right of citizenship has been obtained on the backs of many, many veterans who have served in all of the wars, world wars, and that approximately, I believe, something like 20% of the Native population is a veteran, and that and have. My own grandfather, who was not a citizen at the time, fought in World War I, and my father fought in World War II. We have a great history. American Indians have a great history. Montanans have a great history in joining the armed forces and defending this land. And so because of that, you know, the American Legion, the veterans of foreign wars, the auxiliaries, really push polling, and that's important. And that as American Indians, we still hold that dear and true to our hearts, because we fought hard for it, and that finally we're able to go in and to cast our vote.
I want to ask you more generally, because the American Indian Caucus is not only the members who are Native American, American Indian, but also include those legislators who have constituents, whether
yes.
they're urban or reservation
yes.
based. And do you feel as you're watching this session that...
Well, we're a pretty big caucus, and I believe that we're able to not only wield a voting block at times when we need to, just like the our own constituents back home during the elections have that voting block. We're beginning to see that transpire here in the legislature because of the expansion of the American Indian Caucus. And this is probably the largest caucus that that we have, not only American Indian legislatures, but also those legislatures that have American Indian constituents in their district.
Does that help make sure that you're included at the table when it comes time to negotiate these bills?
Yes, we do. It provides us an opportunity. We've had it before, but it just gives us a little more like a foot in the door or a knee in the door.
It's part of at least
yes.
you get some input, and perhaps you're able to persuade
yes.
them on some of the
yes.
some of the issues that are of concern.
Yes.
Concern. Well, there are so many representative issues that we could talk about. I hope to continue to visit
yes.
with you and other members of the caucus, but unfortunately, I have run out of time.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and visiting. Thank you. In this segment of Capital Connections, Senator Leah Whitford said other topics of concern for the caucus includes Medicaid expansion. Is it hard to reach consensus or agree upon issues such as, for the caucus, the HELP Act, which is Montana's version of Medicaid expansion, infrastructure, education, or are you finding a lot of common ground?
That's a part of the reason why we have the caucus, is because a lot of us that are representing those areas, it gives us an opportunity to bring together people and talk about what are our issues and how can we best address them. And of course, we're not going to always be, you know, 100% for or against any particular issue that we have here or topic. And our views differ because we represent different parts of the state, and we're not all the same. However, it does allow us that opportunity to have those discussions and to have people come in and present to us about the things that are going on in our area that we should be more attuned to. And so, you know, I think that even though the caucus has just a wide variety of people there, our commonality is that we do represent, you know, our constituents that are American Indian and Native American Indian, however you want to put it, and throughout the state.
Certainly. So I want to go to one issue in particular, the HELP Act, because there might be understanding from those who, you know, and again, we're talking in general, do not realize that the HELP Act is a benefit for Indian communities.
Right. So we had some individuals come in from DPHHS. We have some tribal liaison people that work there. They came in as well as their director, and they talked about, you know, how things have affected or could affect our major reservations and counties in Montana. And for example, when they started looking at the numbers in March of 2016, at the time we had newly enrolled people into for the HELP Act, it was 811. And that's just within Glacier and Ponderay, the two counties that I have a large group of people living in and I represent. And then just recently in November, that number is now at 1,541. So we've had a large increase of individuals that are taking advantage of, you know, being able to sign up. And that's really important, because even though we receive, some of us receive IHS, Indian Healthcare Services, that's not enough. It, you know, that money that we get for that, for our healthcare through IHS, is not enough to cover the medical costs that we incur as patients. And so, if a person is signing up for Medicaid and they sign up for the HELP Act, then that particular source can help fund whatever may be, you know, the client going into.
Right, the difference.
Right.
So do you feel like you have to do a lot of education with your fellow legislators to explain that to them, that it's not always Indian Health Service that is providing health care?
Right. And I think that's a misconception that people have just in general, that everything is taken care of through IHS, and it's not. And they have shortfalls. And And that can contribute to why some of the services aren't being offered, like specialty care services. We still have to maybe go out to other areas for those types of things. And so, you know, we have a high rate of diabetes among American Indians and natives across the continent. And so, you know, some of those costs get pretty spendy, and it's on a regular basis. And so if you don't have a means to help offset those costs, then it becomes a financial burden. And I think all of our people across the state of Montana has felt that as well. But this is an opportunity for us to be able to get those services in these impoverished areas like our reservations. You know, we have the highest poverty rates in the state, and just trying to figure out how we can help people is what we're here to do.
And that's where economic development comes in. You help write grants and do planning for the tribe.
Yes.
And you work in the area also of economic development. I guess what do you see as the state of Montana can be doing to help all of the communities, including the reservation communities?
Well, I believe right now we're looking at an infrastructure bill, and I don't know that they've introduced it just yet. There was some talk about it. And that in itself is important for communities all across the state. You know, just being able to get those resources out there and for our communities to have access to them is really important. And that also includes our reservation communities. If there's going to be a job created in the way of infrastructure, we might be looking at road construction. And, you know, although that's seasonal, I mean, it is work, and we need to have that taking place all across the state. But in our areas that we represent as Indy Caucus members, it's important. So we're looking and watching that. We'll be watching it a little bit more closely as it moves about, see how it fares out. And we hope that, you know, the legislators will decide to do the right thing and pass an infrastructure bill that it's going to benefit everybody.
Okay. I want to mention aquatic invasive species, because it's an issue you brought up earlier as a priority for you. It is also included to some extent in the infrastructure bills. Mm-hmm. And it certainly can clog water pipes and systems and things like that. Does it also, do you see, hurt tourism in your area? It's a beautiful part of Montana, northwest Montana. I guess, can you kind of explain why the big concern for your community on aquatic invasives?
Well, if we don't do anything, if we just stay at status quo of, you know, just allowing people to freely move about in our state with these invasive species, it can have a detrimental effect on the environment and our natural resources and our waterways at this point, which is, you know, the lifeblood for the earth. And so if we don't take care of that, you know, we're not going to be very successful in just being able to get people to our waters anyway if they're not healthy. And so does it hurt tourism? As long as those people coming into our state are aware ahead of time that we do have some safety mechanisms in place that we're asking them to adhere to, I think that's really important. So getting the word out to people as they're coming into the state. And my understanding is that, you know, word of mouth has a lot to do with where people go and what they're going to do. And so if people understand that there are some safety measures in place, it's not just for us, but it's for them as well, so that they can come back and enjoy our beautiful state and our waters again. So that's why we are looking at the bills and the funding and all that is going on in order for us to just put some of the fears to rest, but also to make sure that we're protecting our waterways.
I have to ask, are there some issues that perhaps the caucus just will not agree upon? And I'm wondering if one of them might be natural resource development, particularly coal.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I lean heavily into our caucus members that are directly impacted by coal. And, you know, most of us are very, if not all of us, I should say, are very respectful to what the tribal leaders have to say and what our legislators are advocating for or against. You know, I let them take the lead on that, and, you know, just mindful that we are going to have differences. Same thing with oil and gas development. Some of us have that in our area and others don't. And they may not understand why we support it or why we don't support it. And so I think, once again, having those healthy discussions and, you know, it's okay to disagree with one another. We don't all have to think and do the same, but we need to do it respectfully. And I think that's what we've accomplished in the caucus.
And so the caucus then, therefore, again, may not take a position, whether it's pipelines or coal, oil and gas development.
Right.
It could be other issues, too. It could be voting by mail. And, I mean, it could be a number of things.
Right. And, you know, as a caucus, we may take a stand for or against something. And if individuals don't want to be on the letter that we send out or be a part of the testimony, then, you know, they can choose not to. So, you know, we're not so hardcore that we're going to make people do something that they don't feel strongly about. So,
and this is probably why the caucus, excuse me, is structured the way it is, where you take the lead in organizing just the get-togethers, but you allow each individual member to be chair for that day or that time frame.
Right. We meet weekly on Tuesdays at noon, and each week we have a different chairperson. And the reason why we do that is so that we allow one another to have the opportunity to run a meeting, because we might not have that opportunity to do so in our other committees. And then, you know, if there's a particular issue or topic that a legislator is interested in and wants to know more about, then they can organize the meeting to have those presenters come in and discuss a particular topic. And so, you know, for example, we wanted to know a little bit more about the upcoming election that could happen on a congressional level. And so we invited people to come in and talk about, you know, what does that mean for us in Indie Country, because we want to make sure that our voices are heard as well.
Well, with that, we are out of time. I want to thank Senator Whitford for coming in and visiting about the Montana American Indian Caucus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for having me.
You've been listening to Capital Connections. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jackie Yamanaka. You can find this and past programs, as well as links and other resources, on our website, ypradio.org. The Capital Connections theme music is courtesy of the Alex Nauman Trio. Capital Connections is a production of YPR News.